we'll wrap it up tonight. It's been a journey with you. Exodus chapter 3. Take off your shoes. You did that all week. I didn't hear you. No, the story is Moses saw a burning bush. And he said, I'm going to put aside time to look at why there is fire and the bush is not consumed. That's verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside, Exodus 3:3, and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out of his name, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. Verse 5, and he said, draw not near. Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Say holy ground. So the presence of God demands a response. That's what we said. God expects his presence to command something, or anything that represents him should get a response off from us. In Moses' instance, it's take off your shoes. And so it was not just Moses. Who else? Joshua. Take off your shoes from your feet. Because where you're standing is holy ground. The presence of God demands a response as we do for every dignitary. Or better put, as we do for anything important or everything important. In fact, in school then, one of the ways you know that a course is very important is the way you see people outside the exam hall. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you're doing your GSTs, I remember there was a particular GST. I didn't know that the deadline to write that exam had gone. I'd almost elapsed, rather. So it was the last day, and they were writing it at the library. I had to rush. This was an exam I was not even ready to write. So I just, today, last day. Because they did it per department, this department must write between this day and this day. So I rushed, I just put on my shirt, you know. And you see some exams, you know. You just see people outside the hall, just thing. They're just waiting for them to say, come in. And then you see some exams. From the outside, you know that there is war. We are at war. You see people? Then, you know, I had the culture. I don't read in at the exam hall. It was my culture. It affected me in some places, but I just felt whatever I've not read, my life is quite simple. What I've not read is all these days. Now I want to start reading it. It pays some people, that's their MO. But for me, I can't keep myself. Amen. But it used to be a sight. You know, you see people. I had one of my roommates then. Buffet and said, you already know what I'm talking about. And this morning, kilo day, you see, everything you get is. And you see people, different kinds of posture. The person that is squatting is squatting. People are sitting on grass. People are sitting on cement on the floor. Then you know, this is serious. Amen. You know, the way you take kinesiology is not the way you take orthopedics 3. When you start talking about some conditions or neurology, you know that this is it. Amen. And God is saying, what response do I evoke from you? What do I get when? What do I get when my name is called? What a question to us this evening. Yesterday, the President of the United States was going to pass somewhere. I think it was in New York. Was it yesterday? And everyone was stopped. I don't care where you're going to. Your car cannot pass. One of the casualties, unfortunately, was the President of France. I don't know if you ever saw the video. The President of France had to walk. You are on another country's country's soil. He had to walk. He's the President of another country too. But he said, the President is going to pass here. And he was making calls. If you like, make 29 calls. When you get to your country, you are the President there. And then it shows you the kind of honor that was accorded to their President. They don't want to know who you are until the President is done. Probably minutes after he's done passing. That's when you can now carry your convoy. Does God get that honor from us? What does God's presence say to you?
They put that much value on a man. How much more God?
Our response must be honorable. And so God speaks to Eli in a tone that no man should aspire to hear again. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, which is our main text, you know, right? 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Are you there now? By now you should be able to recite that by heart. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, indeed I said to your house and to the house of your father that you should walk before me forever. But now says the Lord, be it far from me, for them that honor me are honored, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So God speaks to Eli and he says, I'm a God that stands for something. Those who honor me will be honored. And those who don't honor me, what happened? In other words, come on. In other words, what does lightly esteem mean? They'll get some reward. Come on, what does lightly esteem mean? You don't know. Say your own words now. Don't use my own words. I'm asking you. What does lightly esteem mean? I can't hear you. They'll be dishonored too.
Uh-huh.
Dishonored. They won't have weight. Okay. So, what? Such weighty words. Huh? They'll be used. Ah, like that one. I hope you've not heard someone that today. Say they'll be useless. No, the idea of worthiness came from the way they used to trade in the old times. So how you know that something is of value is that it weighs. So they put it on the balance and they say it weighs much. That's where the word glory comes from. Glory is how much you weigh, the weight of something. Is God glorious? Come on. You know we sang that song earlier. You are glorious. Do we know what it means when you say he is glorious? He's glorious means he carries weight. He is valuable. So God says to Eli, those who don't honor me will never see honor. He says, you have honored your sons above me. And as we close, I must ask the question. I mean, not for tonight. I mean, the teaching. We must check ourselves. Are there things I honor above God, actually? Easier said than done? Or easier thought than said? Sometimes you've got to answer yourself. Are there things I actually honor above God? Why? Because he's watching. He's watching. Eli probably did not realize that God was looking at him and said, and God saying, this guy honors his son above me. Probably didn't realize enough. Or early enough. Despise means to treat not as what as much. Like, to treat as, it's not really worth it. What kind of honor do we accord God? What kind of honor do we accord God's things? Because he says, those who honor me and my things are honor. Those who despise me and my things. Those who despise me and my church. Those who despise me and my people. They will be lightly esteemed. We saw it with the Philistines. We saw it with the generation that left Egypt. 40 years, they were still wondering. Your life will not come to a waste. So those that honor me will be honored. I'll be honored in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we said the scriptures is filled with examples of what we must not become. Esau, those who despise. Esau saw the birthright and he said, yeah, I know God gives this birthright, but I don't need it. Yeah, there are folks that just feel, what is God things? I've heard someone say, you know, I can make it in life without God. And as economically significant as that statement might be, you're setting yourself up for trouble. Who owns the life itself? Don't say I can make it in life. Who runs the life itself? Who gives life its meaning? One day I will ask us some questions. And those questions are going to probably challenge the way you think and the way you live your life. Because life is big, man. What gives life a meaning? If you say, to have money and travel to, give me a country that, because there's no perfect country, that's the truth. Where's that? You don't even know. Huh? Asia. We're in which country? Give me one country in Asia. Japan. Korea. You want to go to Jugunpyo? And you say, oh, that's my idea of life. I get enough money. travel to Korea, start a family. What about the people that are born there? What gives their life the meaning to travel to Nigeria? Life is big. Today is not for that. So I said the scripture gives us examples of men we must not become. Esau sold God for a bowl of soup. How delicious is it Rebecca now? Yeah, Rebecca's pottage. Rebecca is Isaac's wife. Sometimes you confuse it with Rachel. Rachel is the one that 14 years. Understand? How delicious is the stew or is the pottage that you sell God for it? And before you before you all condemn Esau and say, I can never do that. Remember that day you missed your choir rehearsal because you wanted to go to the cinema. That was Esau like. Pastor, no. I didn't sell the birthright. Small. Don't despise the days of little beginnings. Every little beginning gets bigger. Don't sell God. Judas did. It never ends well. As your philosophers have said, in him we move, live, and have a being. He constitutes the human life itself. He sets it in motion for his own pleasure. The next time you're tempted to sell something, to sell him for something, take another look. Take a second look. There is nothing, absolutely nothing in the world compared to the name of Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. That value must be impressed in your soul. The scripture is filled with people that we should also emulate. Jacob. Say anything you want about Jacob, but Jacob never saw God as small. Oh, he stole his father-in-law's oxen and the sheep and he ran away. Yeah, Jacob, that's his name. The supplanter. Before you name your child Jacob, you know, be careful. just take a look. Once it's 2 years old and you already seen some signs, change to Israel. Hallelujah. And ensure you never visit Egypt. Because the story will be too coincidental. you named him Jacob, change to Israel. You need to be careful. Hallelujah. Jacob never saw God as small. If Esau had met that angel, Esau would have just felt, get out of my room. Jacob said, they didn't tell you. They didn't tell you who I am. You're not going anywhere. He said, what do you want? I want the blessing. He just said, I'm not the one that carries the blessing. Are you not coming from where the blessing is? He held him. The angel said, I must not be seen in the day. He said, then you're not ready. Because I planned 3 days for this protest. You are waiting. I said, you cannot be seen in 1 day. It's 3 days I plan to hold you for. We are 4 hours in. Ask my brother. I bought God from him. Ask my brother. Ask my mother. I don't play with God. They just said, What's your name? Said Jacob. He said, no wonder. You are Israel. You are God's very choice. Are you listening to me? Look at David. You know, we had a teaching I asked you to go listen to. When people are big and God is small, remember? David saw God as big every time. Saul was the opposite. Saul's daughter, Micah, was the opposite. Micah said, you are dancing before the handmaidens like that when people are big and God is small. How glorious was the king of Israel today? How glorious! You know, there's some sarcasm there, you know. Because of Ark that you give carpenter. Have you not heard? It might not look somehow. I've seen people just say Bible. It's not Bible. I'll buy another one. And on the surface, yeah, it's a book. They're selling in the market, in the supermarket. Fine. Well, the undertone. Watch the undertone. He's also never meant to disrespect God. But watch the undertone. It's not really that you see it as a book, you can buy another one. It's you don't see it as a book worth it. Watch the undertone. Judah said, how much will you give me? What will you give me? He's not hard to catch. I've seen him sleep. I've seen him snore. The other day, we were in the storm. And he was snoring. I was the one that woke everybody up. The Pharisee said, I'm Alatu. In my family, they call me Alatus. He said, how much will you give me? So I'll give you 15. Yes, I know it's not worth that much. Give me 50. But I can't take 15. Ah, how much they said normal human beings? They'll give you 20. Judas said 45. They had a bargain. Judas shook hands and said, deal. Those who honor me will be honored. Those who despise me, they will be base in the eyes of the world. See, they will be lightly esteemed. Judas shook hands and said, deal. He didn't start like that. Jesus prayed and he chose Judas. Judas didn't start as a bad guy. And that's why I said, we must reflect on our honor of him daily. Don't undervalue the things of God. Don't see them as not worthy. Don't see them as less worthy. Pastor, I don't see it as less worthy. Then why? I was driving from work today. Brother David was in my car and said, you know, when it rains, oftentimes I've heard people give excuses and say, you know, it was raining, that's why I was not able to make it to service. Which sometimes you can understand. There are people who are in flood-prone areas and who can't even make it through the flood. You know, that, I understand, but sometimes you just, you see, these things are not set in stone. You just look at yourself, you look at your heart. So I said, but what if it was said and it's certain that everyone gets 500,000 naira if you're in service today? I know even if it rains fire, people will dodge it. Not water. Fire. They will carry metal like this. Why? 500 pa. Amen. You know what I'm talking about, right? I know some of you don't need it. Your dad. I understand. 500,000. 5 million. You will see pastors of other churches. You will see how far. What does that say? It says, I value 500,000 more than whatever you are going to teach today. Something is missing. You are not taking off your shoes. I believe God is still going to impress this more in our heart during this year's retreat. We take off our shoes properly. Amen? There's still a lot to say. I've actually not started with Exodus 3 itself. We are still on the first Samuel 2. But just running out of time for this series. A lot. God's honor must increase in our lives. The sons of Eli made a grave error. They didn't think that there was anything really holy. To the people who were making the sacrifices, it was holy. You can imagine the average Israelite as he's taking it there. Holy is the Lord. He's dropping it. And the sons of Eli just laughing. Dinner not ready. Dinner not sup. You don't see the sons of Bashan. They dropped their sacrifice now earlier today. Me, I'm taking the sacrifice of Kineo. Of Chema. You take the sacrifice of Anu. Says, you know, Anu sacrifice is not sweet. Last time I ate Anu sacrifice, was pamoy. I know I'm kidding. She's the one that bakes, so. Anu sacrifice is always cake. I won't sacrifice that as Pepe. I say, okay, tomorrow you will take always sacrifice. You take Judy's sacrifice. Deal. They didn't see it as anything. The people that were offering to God, they were shaking. And there were some people waiting behind the curtain. How many times have we gotten familiar with the holy? What ought to be holy and sacred has gotten, we are now used to it. And it's something I'm preaching to myself too. Sometimes you can preach so long and for so much and for so long that you get used to just holding the microphone and standing in front of people. And you stop seeing it as an honor to speak on God's behalf. We must never get there. Amen? So we can just get familiar with the holy. And that familiarity, we judge ourselves unworthy. Like Barnabas said to the people, you have judged yourself unworthy of everlasting life. Because of this, we turn to the Gentiles. Oh, you lead God's people to sing. It's an honor. Don't get familiar with it. So you just go, it's not you guys, music team, in the name of Jesus. Can we just leave our hands? Just bless his name. You are used to it. That bless his name. It's not even in your head to bless his name. It's just something we say, right? Like Eli's sons, it's just something we eat, right? It doesn't really belong to God. Or God does not really care about it. You know? And then we get familiar with the holy. Just leave our hands in Jesus' name.
I don't want to sing any of the songs you sang today. So I'm trying to figure out the song in my head. He chased the 1,000. What's that song? Reckless love of gate. There's God, there's gate. Oh, he chases. All of the things I had issue with when I was growing up was all this stuff. I love music, you know, but at some point, it's the love of music, and we got to the extremes, man. I had a crew, a group of us, about 40 of us from different denominations who liked music and who liked to worship God. So we got a psalmist crew, like we are psalmists. And we sing our own songs, you know. And we were quite good. We had about 8 keyboardists. We were top. We had bass guitarists. So I was the one that started it. And in fact, we have people who play in the Redemption Camp now who were part of it today. Then, you know. And I observed that it got to a point we were so... When you score songs, you see... No, so you give me a double bass, and then we go to the next bar, and then no, let's go a semicolon, and then we part it. Sometimes you see 5 parts, contralto, mezzo soprano, part that you should not be branching that part. Sometimes you see 6 parts. I'm serious. Mezzo kiniko. I've forgotten some of those terminologies now. And one day God told me, said, what are you doing? Give me. I used to say, it's not do me do. Let's go. Do me fi. I fear none. And I discovered that, So we started holding retreats. That was when we started holding retreats. Monthly. Was it monthly? Or quarterly? By the way, we had prayer meetings monthly. Retreat was quarterly. We had prayer meetings monthly. Yes. At some point, we left. We were still doing good music, but the focus was more on him than what people would say. When we were doing all those things, people were praising us. How many more music? That's all to it. We have taken what belongs to God. It has become music, not worship. We must not get there. Where we get familiar with the holy to honor it. Too familiar to honor it. You are in the media. Do it as unto the Lord. Also get familiar. You must not treat it. You don't say, I'm not despising it, but you know that's not what you would have done if you were paid. That's not what you. That's if the president of the country calls you today and says, design something for the service. you know you're not going to put that out, right? That design that you just did for. It got red that year. Just draw the rectangle. Whim. I'm going to bring my picture of Dove. It's not church. Dove. We. Glorious House Church International. Shondai. Presents. But if the president, you would have looked at the design again and said, bro, help me. Say, bro, it's not helping me enough. You call someone in Abuja, you call someone in Kano. Say, what would this tribe think about this design? Because the president is important. Was God not? Are you with me this evening? I saw a church in the United States. And I was showing my wife. We were watching together. No one has to tell you, these folks honor God. Am I lying? We didn't tell each other. We had the same thing in mind. I said, see this. You could perceive God's honor in every aspect of the service. I watched the entire service, by the way, from pre-service. I saw 15 minutes to service, and I waited. I watched. I watched how they were preparing for service. 15 minutes to service, someone was talking. When the service started, I watched the songs, the lifting of hands, the bowing of knees. In a world where we think it's all about comfort, they gave everything to Jesus. The pastor was not on suit. Was on just shirt and sneakers. That's their culture, amen. And I saw the excellence in quote of
how they wanted to serve Jesus. It was palpable. You must see him as big. You must treat every service time as that. This is unto the Lord. This is unto the Lord. He's bigger than what we imagine. You know, we sing that song when we're growing up. You're bigger than what people say. Jehovah, you're bigger than what people say. You are glorious. You are marvelous. You are bigger than what. But do we act it? Is he evident? When you come late for rehearsals. When you don't show up in your unit meetings. And then it doesn't matter. When you're called to do God's things. And it looks like they are burdening you. They left only me to do it. That should gladden you. Amen. When I was younger, those are the things we look for. Leave only me. Amen. No, like, I seriously pray. In fact, so that it can be only you, you come earlier. Hey, well, you know what I'm talking about. Saturday mornings, you see me, I'm already in church. And I'm already doing what all of us are meant to collectively do. Then I go home and come back with everybody again. We finish it up. Because it's always an honor to serve the King. Always an honor. It's always an honor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us to see how big you are. Help us. We must not be deceived to think that what we're doing is small. Maybe this should have been part of the workers' meeting. We must not be deceived to think what we're doing is small. I told you during the workers' meeting, the annual workers' meeting, how there is nothing small. Remember? Remember? How the person that is holding church key, that's your work. Imagine that's your work. Just hold church key because... I remember it used to be people that stay near the church. You know what I'm talking about? It used to be people that live near the church then. I want to look at Shino. Yeah, thank you. Some memories, man. Shino. So, it used to be those who live near the church. I started collecting key at some point. I wasn't living close to church. But you know me now. I was church. He passed the children's church, the teen's church. Even the main church, the big auditorium, I had the keys. The generator house. Now, before you can get that key. You know when I'm talking about 2004-05, and you already we had the generator probably as big as what we used today, 20 years ago. So you don't just touch it. It's not for everybody. I found a way. I had the keys. Amen. I'm coming from school. First branch church. Nothing is happening. I just want to see church. I still have the habit today. Sometimes, brother, I just say, let's throw. Let's go to church. Abby. Yeah. I met Brother Pam which day. I was not expecting to meet you. I come to church. Sometimes I just want to come to church. I'm used to staying in church. Church will never be small to me. There's no place I'd rather be. I had everything. I say, as little as it looks like, oh, I'm just holding key. Sometimes I cannot just hang somewhere and then everybody will come and pick it. And I said, if the person comes late, you're holding the key to the church hall, auditorium, and you come late, that affects the people who are setting up. Right? That affects the service time. And if the pastor is aware, it definitely affects preparation for that service. Because you have affected the pastor now, he will not be able to minister as he ought to minister. Then the person that was meant to get healed would not get it because there was no time to minister healing. Why? You came late with the keys. And because there was no time to minister healing, the one who is meant to hear the testimony of the one that was healed will not hear the testimony. And so, the spouse will not get saved. Because, see the chain of reactions that can just happen because someone came 10 minutes late. Are you listening to me? You must not see what you're doing for God as small, as not significant enough. The scripture warns against that in Zechariah chapter 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Zechariah is after Haggai. So I'll wait for him. Just check the table of contents, please. Haggai, God, only Zechariah. So find Zechariah for you there. That your yes is not really very strong. Are you there? All right, good. Verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, as Zechariah, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it. Amen. Amen. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Can we read verse 10 together?
For who has despised the day of small beginning? For they shall rejoice, and they shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the earth. Amen. It says, don't despise the day of small things. Now, the context of this is, let me give you the context so it makes sense. Israel were back from slavery, from Babylon. They had been in slavery for 70 years. And during the slavery, Solomon's temple, remember Solomon's temple? That big giant one, built with all the gold and candlesticks and all of that. Remember? The one that he adorned with gold. That Rehoboam wanted to substitute brass for gold. Solomon's temple was gone. So, what he had was not as grand as what existed 70 years ago. They had a very small building. And God is telling them, build it again. That temple will eventually be called Zerubbabel's temple. Amen. One of these we'll go through the book of Zechariah. Ezra, Zechariah, Nehemiah, around the building of the temple. Very, very awesome books. And so, God was asking them to build again. Well, you know, slavery, you don't have money, you don't have anything. So, they were all discouraged. And God said, you lay the foundation, you finish it. Don't despise the days of little beginnings. That means, it is possible that we despise the temple of God because it's small. Hear God. God says, don't despise that choir of 10. The choir I envision to be part of is, you know, this mass choir. Not physics. All this mass choir. We now we are Ankara. We'll be like 4 million. Is it Ankara that is your problem? Buy it for everybody in the music team. Will you guys not wear it? Huh? Will you not wear it? Say it now. Emma call. Why are you Ankara in the EU? Amen. Say, we now we are Ankara. We now do, you know, all this. All this whatever. What do you call it? Fascinator. When I put it orange. I'll not be the one that will leap the auto. So because of that grand vision, you despise the days of little beginnings. May you finish what the Lord has started. Don't regard God's work as small. It's never small. Don't forget, those who despise me shall be likely extinct. We said, despise me will be, in the context of Eli and his sons, that will be to despise God and his things, right? Those who despise shall be likely extinct. They will not be honored. And one of the things we can despise is his little beginnings. Days of little beginnings. Zechariah must have looked at that temple and said, it's not even 1/32 of what Solomon built. How do we worship in this one? And God said, you will see that I am the Lord. Don't despise. If you despise little beginnings, you always be little. Because you will not put yourself, you will judge yourself unworthy of finishing the Lord's house. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you will not disregard God's work. It's a trap. It's a trap a lot of people fall in. In the name of, what's there? I'll just come and set up now. How many things are we setting up? It's not just arrange chairs and then just put the speakers. Service has started. Because of that, you don't put a lot of value and honor on what God has put in your hands. Like I say again, I'll say it again. And I'll say to the camera, it's an honor serving the Lord. Oh my. It is an honor of all people on the earth that will welcome people to church. God said I should be part of that and say welcome to church. It's a big deal. Amen. It's a big deal. You don't know. It's big. Eh? Don't sell that. Don't trade that for anything in the world. It's not small. It's not. It's God. It's not small. It's gold. I see it as gold. I treat it as gold. I reckon it as gold. Do not despise. This is God warning. Maybe Zechariah, but also for us. Do not despise the day of small things so that you can rejoice and see what the Lord can do in the hand of Zerubbabel. Why? Verse 6, because it's not by power, it's not by might. It's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4:6. His spirit brings increase to his work. He gives the increase. That song says, he is the giver of life. He gives the increase. We receive his increase. Oh, in our ministries, we're in our service, in our units, we receive his increase. Our hearts do not despise the Lord. Our eyes do not see him as small. We receive his increase. We receive his increase. We receive his increase by his spirit. Have your seat. Pay for me as I close. Watch. Watch for the days of small things, of little beginnings. When it appears, oh, it's not as grand as it usually is. Some years ago, Pastor Debo was saying, he said, some of his best moments in the Redeemed Christian Church of God were house fellowships. You would have thought to be when you had 80,000. I don't know what's the current prophet. What's the current of the hall auditorium? I know there's A, B, C. I think it's about 20,000 capacity. So I know Winners is building 55,000. That's massive. It's about 20,000. You'd have thought, have you had 1,000 people surround you before? Then you go 2,000, then you go 10,000 people. For context, some universities, all their students are just 10,000. So imagine you put out all the students in university, every department, and those that are students and those that are agency banking, 10,000. And you have 20,000. You'd have thought that would be the best moment as a pastor to stand before 20,000 and say, I'm happy to welcome you all to Glory Camp meeting. And he says, the best moments were in house fellowships. So when we walked street to street, carried our Bibles in our hands, and proclaimed the name of Jesus. Why? Because those who don't despise beginnings like that, they will have what the Lord wants. What the Lord wants to do, they will be part of it. You know why David is the greatest king in Israel? You know why? David esteemed the Lord. He didn't care about the kingdom. He cared about God. In Psalm 51, he said, you can take the kingdom. Just don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You are bigger than whatever I have. You are bigger than whatever I can possess. The postmodern Christian must learn from that. Our service of Jesus is not so that you can get Rolls Royce or Blinker Navigators and, what have you. If that's your dream in life, what about those who have that money in their account? Well, what should they aspire for? Life is bigger than figures. Pastor, you don't understand. Sapphire is dealing with me. He's dealing strongly. Pastor, these are the days of little beginnings. Life is more than figures, man. There are people in this world who have never cared a day about what's in their account. And they are still longing for a savior. Go to the Emirates. Not us now. I mean, the Arab Emirates. They don't need money. I mean, the royal families. If being wealthy to stupor, you know, there's wealthy to stupor. There's billion, and there's billion that yes, this is looking for you. There are different kinds of money. There's money, there's bastard money. If bastard money is the goal in life, the rich will not be running around. Everyone needs compassion. The kindness of the Savior. You know that song? The kindness of the Savior. He gives life the very meaning. What is the meaning? You can't find it until you meet him. The honor of him is what brings it to the heart of many. The dishonor of him will see that man be based. Based will mean the highest will be on the floor. God says, those who don't honor me, their highest level, their ceiling will be on the floor. Because I will honor those who honor me. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Men and brethren, there's a call tonight of God. Not to despise the days of little beginnings. We are not where we are meant to be yet. Or where we are going. Amen. But remember, there were days in this church. Did you ever have a microphone?
There are some problems that are good to have. Microphone? You have one.
Pastor, why?
No money, now. No money. I'll shout on Sunday. I'll shout because there was one church that used to play gong-gong. I'm forgiving them. They are no longer there, though. That beat is no longer there. They have crushed it. I'm not saying I'm the one that made them crush it, too. I think they packed out something. The building was an old building, so I think the government had to, but not me, yeah. So, yes, sir. But I didn't like them, and it's always pray Sunday every Sunday. Like why do you have this much gogon? It's not one gogon that is doing that thing. Boshola, Mukwaro, it's been like 14 gogon. And Orish at Yalu, everything's there. And I would say, so spiritual growth. First Peter, let's go again. Open it. Can you understand what I'm saying? The first was we left the place. So we went to sitting room, then brush all our sitting room then. Yeah, sitting room, that's where we're having service. I think about two Sundays or three Sundays. But Pam, you attended one of those Sundays. He did. Abi? Oh, he never. Ah. Yeah, beginnings, little beginnings, man. Who was there? Only the two of you. And me. I was there. I can tell you I was there. Then gradually we went to a facility where I think it's like where this bro always been this keyboard. It's quite small. And we have Holy Ghost meetings there. Amen. In that small space. The house will be shaking when we are rejoicing. Amen. I think the entire seat we can put in the church was 8. 12. Like 12 disciples. And the 12 said, it should not be full. I think there were times that it was full. Weekday. It was full on weekday. It was not full. Easy life. Then, bro, Lord was sneaking on weekday. Will not pick call on Sunday. Don't despise the days of little beginnings. Why you are laughing? In 2 years, I'll remind you of this place. I'll tell you. Remember, but don't despise. And in 10 years, because God's story does not end, there's no progress that is the climax of what God can do if we keep his honor intact. God showed Moses, you've not seen the best of miracles. The burning bush is not the end. You will bring out water from the rock. Oh, Moses, you will part the seas. And if you think parting the seas is the end, I'll give you guys food for 40 years and you will not know the source. Your shoes will not wear out. You will lead these guys. Jordan will part for you. The mountains will bow when you're coming. Moses, just honor me. God told Joshua, if you put your shoe off your feet, you will see me. The sun stopped for Joshua. Of course, we know. We know the sun doesn't stop, right? Because it's already on one spot. It doesn't move. That means the earth stopped for Joshua. The earth stopped rotating around the sun. That's big. The sun did not go down a whole day. Because a man would dare to honor God. Then how much have we been missing? How much have we been missing in our families? How much have we been missing in our ministries, in ourselves, in our PCFs? How much have we been missing? If God's honor can do that much. So why we complain and then we say, oh, why is my life like this? No amount of confession can fix that. You've got to honor him. That thing that undervalues the things of God in your eyes must be dealt with. That thing that sees church as, you know, it's just church now. It's not like I'll not be there next week. It's not like I'll not be there next week. It's just this once. That thing must be called out and dealt with. God is not small. What is my responsibility? At the hearing of his name, my shoes must come off. I must respond. I must respond. Respond to his majesty. Respond to his holiness. I must respond in the corner of my room. I must respond at the center of the church. I must respond on the streets. I must respond at work. Because his name is worthy. Or in our modern parlance, his name is worth it. He is worth it.